Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Pour yourself a cup of ambition, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Christopher Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
Good day.
And Pete Diddy Donaldson's here.
Christopher.
Ah, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble again.
It is indeed.
Lovely.
We're back.
We're back. All taking and no giving.
You sound like a smooth radio presenter. I enjoyed it.
Working 9 to 5. We are not, Jim.
No.
24/7. That's what we do. If you believe that, you believe anything, of course. Mm. Lovely to have you here with us, gentlemen.
Mm. Here and with us.
Yeah, and with us.
All present and accepted.
That sounded like you'd resuscitated us both. From some sort of near-death experience.
Well, the pre-chat before the ramble with me can be described as that.
Yeah. It can.
It was pretty dead this week.
Mm-hmm. Some of your anecdotes are heart-stopping.
And weird.
Uh-huh. But I'm saving the good chat for now.
Good
the
boy.
North London derby.
Mm.
Arsenal got a win, Jim.
Did get a win.
What a win it was, eh?
It was an excellent win, yeah. I think one of the things that characterises the kind of narrative before a big game with Arsenal at the moment is that it could all explode and just fall apart because they tend to do very calamitous things that are sort of high profile and embarrassing. And actually, that makes people forget that obviously they're a very good footballing side. Mm. And this is exactly, I think, kind of what happened in the build-up to the game. I wouldn't necessarily say Spurs themselves bought into this, but that was the narrative. And they pressed harder. They did that thing they do where they win a big game and everyone says, oh, yeah, they could kick on now if they play like this every week. And hopefully they will. But, you know, we've been through this part of the cycle. I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'm certainly going to enjoy that because it was excellent.
It's a double win.
My favourite part was seeing Mesut Ozil just glide back to dispossess Christian Eriksen. He's figured out he can glide in every direction.
I love that.
Like a chess piece.
Yeah, I felt a touch sorry for Wenger. I know he's a sort of architect of the whole thing, but I felt a touch sorry for him because as soon as Arsenal put in a good performance and win a big game like that, you get Graeme Souness or somebody. And I do agree with what he's saying. And
maybe even Jeff Shreves.
Oh,
up in his face.
Whatever he says.
Arsene, it's not going to last. What do you think?
Whatever he says, I disagree with. Anyway, enough of Shreves. Arsenal put in a good performance like that. And Wenger, just thinks, we've got a good win against our fierce rivals. And it's straight away, you're not going to keep this up. I mean, this is the problem. You're inconsistent. Just for a moment.
He is the architect of it, though, isn't he? That's the thing. And, sitting back and resting on your laurels is possibly part of the problem. So actually, I don't mind that. If it's something that puts a bit more pressure on the team to play like that more often, then that's great. The wind of Mike Dean blew in Arsenal's favour. That has to be mentioned, doesn't it?
Yeah, he wasn't having a great time when Sanchez met Sanchez.
Yeah.
It was a strange decision, and then there was a suspicion of offside for what was actually a very, very good header.
Yeah, a suspicion of offside based on the rules. but, again, the wind of Mike Dean. Although that's obviously the linesman's fault, isn't it? But, I just feel like I don't know where Mike Dean has seen that shirt pull. It's just, their arms were close together from his point of view, but that's still a big assumption to make. Because Sanchez did fall over. It was just because Davinson Sanchez made a good challenge. He didn't complain. He wasn't looking for a free kick.
It was just the wrong decision.
Yeah.
It was just unfortunately for Spurs. Then another wrong decision followed immediately after, and then a goal came off it.
But Mike Dean is incredible at that, isn't he?
Dean is incredible.
Well, quite, yeah. But when he does make mistakes or makes a strange decision, they turn out to be very costly for someone.
He's box office, Jim.
He really is.
Every decision he makes leads to something.
It's a talent in a way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Dele Alli and Harry Kane, they weren't fit, were they?
Well, that's what I thought looking at that game, because they didn't have their usual sort of, their usual energy. And obviously Spurs started very brightly and they both looked to have more of it then. But it makes me wonder, have they actually just not been training for a week? And
Harry Kane just looked very particularly leggy.
Do you think after certain people's comments about Harry Kane and Alli missing England duty because of the injury, and are they actually injured? Do you think Pochettino was terrified that he might get a nasty phone call from Southgate after the match?
So he gave them both Valium.
He gave them both a nice cup of cocoa.
Yeah. Just before the game, he gave them a roast dinner to eat. Oh, dear. I don't know. But yeah, Ozil was given man of the match. I mean, it was... I hate to sort of say what, I was just saying a few moments ago, but when you see Arsenal play like that and then Lacazette starts and puts in a great performance and Ozil, as you say, tracking back and so on, you just think, do it more often! I think, though, is maybe even that a little bit of a false perception. It's just that, as I say, the calamities stand out a bit more. Arsenal will generally get the results you'd expect them to with the odd... What's not even an anomaly, given how competitive the league is it just, the Arsenal we've been so used to under Wenger are now playing in a league where there are more teams that are just better than them, and they sit exactly about where they should.
Well, that's a fair point, actually. I remember a number of years ago when Wenger signed, I think it was when he was signing Mikel Arteta, and it was Mertesacker around that time?
They came together.
They made a number of signings, excuse me, and... People were saying, what's the matter with these players? And maybe not those two in particular, but some other signings. And people were saying, you're looking at the shirt rather than the face.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is an element of that. I mean, Lacazette is a very good forward, signed for a lot of money. But, Chelsea signed Morata.
Yeah.
Mm. Manchester United signed Lukaku. Now, Lukaku was already a proven Premier League goal scorer. I know he's had a bit of a drought, but he's obviously scored the weekend. You look at that, Spurs have got Harry Kane. So, yes, they signed Lacazette. But as you say, Jim... It's a very good striker, but so are the other teams got good strikers.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And it used to be Arsenal and Man United.
Yeah.
Or Man United and one other for a long time. And that's where we are. I guess that's what happens when you have the same manager for 20 years. You get the expectations of that era in a strange way.
That's very true. Spurs, it was sort of slightly concerning for them. 11 points behind Manchester City, although Man City are just in a different league, aren't they?
Well, you say that, but every team chasing them can't look at it that way.
True, but then... But then if you look at that stat where they've only won, is it sort of one in 16 or 17 games against some of the big sides?
In the away games against the top games, six. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and Lord Ramble brought to our attention a very interesting stat that actually, last season, Chelsea, obviously, they won the league, didn't they? And what was it? They had 4 points from five away games against the other, you know, the other top teams, and they still won the league. So, you know, that's doable, but obviously it is a problem. And if you are going to want to, you know, kick in to that elite group, where you're aiming to be in the Champions League every season, aiming to be challenging for the title every season, you have to find a way around that. Because, I mean, again, it's these margins that win you things.
I mean, Man City need to drop off a pretty hefty cliff to not win the league.
I mean, they can land on a couple of ledges on the way down and still be all right.
But, I mean, I guess Spurs' focus might even just switch to the Champions League and just sort of go, let's go for that. Let's go all guns blazing for that, guys.
That's true.
Let's rest Kane and Ali for the league.
God, that is classic Peter.
Ah, yeah, sod it.
It's November now. There's no chance.
You can't be the best. Just be the rest.
I like that. I think they should concentrate on the Champions League. Finish like 11th in the Prem. We're going to get back in the Champions League by winning the damn competition. And hopefully that will mug off Chelsea, because that time then they won it and they made sure we went in the Europa or whatever. Yeah. Obviously, it doesn't work like that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. But I like the spite, no doubt. Yeah, so it was a good win for Arsenal. It was a very good win for Arsenal. And much better, as we say. Hector Bellerin believes that they've silenced their critics. And in his words, they shut some mouth with the win.
He is good value on social media. I remember after the end of pre-season, he posted a picture of himself on a surfboard in the sea, just with a caption, going back to London, like, love that. You're not surfing home to London, Hector. But I like to believe that you are.
Don't get salt water in your mouth.
So, yeah, I mean, it, you know, the whole silence the critics thing, blah, 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 it's part of the cycle, blah, blah, blah. Even that's part of the cycle now, saying that. But it's away at Cologne next and then away at Burnley after that. So that's two tough tests. You know, if they have, you know, added some metal, that's a good chance to display it.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Tony Pulis has been sacked in other news.
He has.
He's out of here.
On behalf of the Football Ramble, we'd like to thank the owners of West Brom for doing that before we record.
Thanks, Gorch and Lai.
Two in a row now, after the Koeman debacle.
That's right,
so that's good.
Uh-huh. Bilic and Pulis, of course. And Gary Megson has taken temporary charge, which is something we can all get behind.
Yeah, wow.
As non-West Brom fans.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they'll want him in the job for long, but I think Everton probably thought that about David Unsworth.
Right, so Ryan Giggs, the early frontrunner for that particular position, which is incredible.
That is an interesting
really
one.
I mean, that is it surprising? I think it is a little bit.
Yeah, it's a funny one with Pulis' style, isn't it? It just seems to hit a ceiling after a little while. Maybe, I don't know, do the players get kind of bored of it? What happens there? Because, you know, he's built his stock on making teams really difficult to beat, and then after a little while, that seems to kind of stop happening. It's like they've not won in 11, have they? It's like August the last time they won.
It's not that outrageous, is it? I mean, he took over in Jan 2015. They were struggling. I think they were down in the relegation zone or close to it, if not. And they finished under Pulis 13th, 14th and 10th. Now, obviously, 10th is very good. But a side like West Brom, it's not outrageous if they suddenly become in a bit of a relegation fight. I mean, Pulis, to finish in the top half is great stuff. You know, that you mentioned that, you know, the top six earlier, and there's a lot of good teams. Well, there's a lot of teams that, you know, the aforementioned Everton with their money and so on. I mean, they should be higher. The way that Watford are playing this season, you know, there's so many teams with potential to finish in the top half. It's not outrageous for West Brom to go on a bit of a bad run, and these things can happen. And he's been there for over, you know, three seasons now.
Yeah. Also, as well, if you look at the promoted teams this season, I know it's early on, they're 9th, 10th and 11th at the moment. So there are none of them down there sort of clogging that up, as you might normally expect during most seasons. So it's you know, we could lose a very big name, at least one this year. But yeah, it's, like I say, it just feels like it's hit a ceiling with Pulis, doesn't it? Like, you know, if you can't...
I remember
if you're not that hard to beat anymore and you play rubbish football, sooner or later people are going to get frustrated, aren't they?
You know, Everton are in a relegation fight.
Well, it looks like they might be.
Just for the end of the season, Jim.
They're in a fight to find a manager.
Don't do this.
what a week that would be for Pulis. Get sacked from West Brom and then goes at the Everton job.
But you know what, though?
To get even more money to pee up the wall.
if they were, you know, if they were considering the Allardyce option of getting him in to sort of keep them up for a season, because he was linked to the job, and, you know, that seems to be the perception, doesn't it, that he's this amazing firefighter, Fireman Sam. Pulis is the same option, is it not?
But did somebody say, though, that Pulis turns up to a club, lights his own fire, and then puts it out and goes, well, no one else could have put that out?
Someone did say that, and it was Pete Donaldson.
Was it really?
It was.
No, it wasn't. It was Damien Cunningham on the emails.
Oh, was it really?
He's a fireman arsonist. Which I think is lovely.
Fights fire with fire.
Yeah.
But Gorshin Lai, I'm obsessed with that guy's name. Look at Gorshin Lai. He said, we're in a results business. I was like, was that on the contract when you joined West Brom?
Well, it wasn't a performance business, was it? Pulis wouldn't sign that. Certainly not.
Not in the entertainment business and all that.
Well, Pulis said after the loss to Chelsea that if he'd left the club, then he'd put his record on the table in front of everyone and see what they think of what he's done at the club in his 3 years. So he knew. He knew that the end was nigh.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and fair play to him. He has done a good job there, but it's just something has changed and it's not working anymore. I mean, like Marcus Alonso's third goal, like at the back post from a free kick, very simple. Fans booed it as it went in. You know, clearly there is something wrong there and something needs to change.
Was it as it went in they booed?
Yeah.
The ball's crossing like
as it hit his foot.
But I think don't like that.
But I think when you say like they've done a good job, I think that's the sort of line that a lot of West Brom Baggies fans are going to have a real problem with in the media, because it'll be one of those kind of party situations. Oh, careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Whoever comes next might be as good, might not be as good. They might relegate. Yeah. So, well, I'm paying money for a season ticket. And you're spending 40 million on players. Just give me something to look at. Yeah. Crying out loud. If we're going to lose, at least look good doing it.
Yeah. Is it time for Pepe Mel to come back? That's all I'm saying.
Well, if it's time for Gary Megson to come back, it might be.
That would be quite something, wouldn't it? My goodness. Well, let's turn our attention to one of the newly promoted sides, Newcastle United, because Manchester United gave them a pumping, Peter.
I wouldn't go that strong. I thought, first half we were all right.
4-1, not a pumping.
Yeah. 2-1 down at half time.
Yeah. Well, nearly got to 2-2, thanks to Dwight Gale's deflected shot.
You're right.
Sorry,
it was a moral victory, wasn't it?
They nearly got to 2-2 at one stage, and so therefore it wasn't a pumping. When the first goal went in, as the commentator quite nicely put it, it was Geordie Joy.
Geordie Joy.
Gale put them 1-0 up.
Yeah, Lindelof slipped, didn't he? So that's him out of the team for 3 months, getting slagged in the press every day.
Benitez very pleased with his team's first 30 minutes.
Yeah, I at Old Trafford, you're not going to get many chances, but I thought they looked really good on the break, and yeah, I was quite happy the first half. And then second half, they just looked a bit leggy, a bit tired, and Manchester United's quality, and 200 million more.
Well, that's what Rafa said straight after the match. He said, you see the difference in terms of money spent. Now, obviously that's true. We all know that.
But if you look at like Martial to Pogba, you sort of go, Martial did go for a fair fee, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And he's been used as like an an impact sub at times, weirdly.
Although, yeah, playing very well for the French national side. But I find it quite interesting. If you were a Newcastle player, everybody knows Manchester United are a better side. But do you want your manager to kind of say, well, obviously they've got better players than us?
I think surely, though, if you are, any sort of rational human being, you know that's true.
Footballers?
I remember Rob Elliott, the guy who played in goal for Newcastle the weekend, under Pardew, he was known to, in pubs, the night spots, the length and breadth of Newcastle, tell everyone, we're not good enough to be in the top 10, so this is where we belong mid-table.
He said that?
Because that's the, winning mentality that Pardew instilled in the team.
The choice of venue there says it all, doesn't it?
Gather around a night out with Rob Elliott.
With Rob Elliott.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think, Mourinho said that Paul Pogba's performance was top.
Oh, it was great.
Which I like that. He's getting in the Manchester lingo.
They have his bucket hat on in the post-match interview.
Pogba, man. What a performance that was.
See, this is, I like seeing that. I think, every league tends to have a dual in its crown, doesn't it? And because the fee Pogba went for, you kind of think, it sort of seems like he should be the headline player in the Premier League in general. And he put in a huge, huge performance. That cross for Martial, he didn't have as much space as he made it look like he had. You know what I mean? And he's one of those players that can almost seem to stop time. Just get a little bit of space, slow things down to have a really exquisite, delicate chip like that. And just brilliant. In a crowded box, he put it on a plate for Martial.
Some of his delivery. And I think he gets unfairly criticised, whereas someone like Kevin De Bruyne's performances last season that kind of flattered to deceive. This season, he's kicked on. He's playing really well. A similar situation with him, I think.
Yeah, but Kevin De Bruyne doesn't do silly things with his hair, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And also the, tacit racism of the press.
There we are.
Doesn't have his own emoji. Although, I guess you could just use the ghost one.
That's true. fair points. I mean, Mourinho commented a number of times about Pogba being out the side through injury, which is fair because you would miss it.
He spoke about how he wasn't speaking about that.
that's what he did. Yeah, and then he said other managers shouldn't go on about injured players whilst going on about injured players. But that's Mourinho. But I just wonder if in some of the one or two of the performances this season where they played very defensively against Liverpool away, for example, would they have approached the game as defensively as that if he had Pogba in the side?
It's hard to tell, isn't it? Because I think back to the game at Southampton when they won 1-0 and it looked like they were practising this kind of shutout
Yeah.
So I think, you know...
Much of the glee of the away support.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't care about that, does he? It's great. So I would imagine they would have gone for it a bit more. But I think Mourinho, he knows over the course of a season he's going to have some of those performances out of his side. So, he's going to employ those tactics if he thinks it's best on the day. I hope not, because we want to see the best of Pogba. And, you know, he's an incredibly powerful player. And you see that in the last sort of 20 minutes of a lot of games. His energy really sort of rattles teams. And that's how United have been racking up big scores, sort of particularly at home.
Yeah. And they look great at home at the moment. Yeah. You know, well, I say great at home. The Old Trafford's a fortress again. You know, if you look at the stats, you know, they're not losing games. They're conceding hardly any goals. You know, the Gales goal was, one at a very few amount of goals they've conceded while Mourinho's been at the club.
I just think it's never going to be a surprise if Mourinho sort of, you know, plays that sort of game to try and blunt an opposition, whoever's in his side. I mean, he tried to curtail the attacking creative instincts of Eden Hazard at times, you know. Like, he'll probably do the same with Pogba.
I don't trust him to keep it fun. That's what I'm saying.
But I think with Mourinho, that side, they're quite powerful, and they're more so with Pogba in the side, with a bit of creative flair as well. Mourinho loves that. Mate man always used to say that the Chelsea side that he managed, they were like the big boys in the playground. If there was lots of football matches going on in the school the school playground or something like that, the big boys would come along and go, we'll give you a game. And you just think,
oh my God, that one's got a moustache.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a dyed moustache.
He's got a kid.
I was with you saying that was Marcus with his moustache. I bet you had quite an early moustache when you were a kid.
Yeah, how long have you been a hairy boy? Have you just hit puberty all at once?
But I'm not
like
big.
One of those Mexican wolfmen.
I stopped growing when I was about 14, though. Right. So I never were like them.
All the hormones went into your hair.
Yeah. Concentrating on your follicular career.
Uh-huh. I still scored goals against them. So, you know, there we are. But yeah, they're a powerful side. That's what Mourinho wants. You know, you look at these other sides and they overpower teams. But also, when they need to be defensive, they're resilient against, you know, wave after wave. And I'm really looking forward to that Manchester derby because we know how both managers are going to approach
it. It's such a clash of styles, isn't it?
Well,
actually,
nailed on.
Well, that's the one, isn't it? That will test the theory that you've put forward there, Marcus. Like, will
early goal for Man City and then bang, we're on.
I mean, that is the only way we're going to get a football match over, because otherwise I think Mourinho is just going to revert to his type.
Take it down to the trenches.
Just, you know.
But he loves that. He loves how much that will annoy Guardiola. That will be an extra sort of reason to do it for him.
Absolutely right, yeah. Ibrahimovic returns to action, of course.
He looked like he hadn't missed a step. He looked great. A scissor kick and a spraying out balls left, right and centre.
Called himself a lion in the post-match.
Called himself a lion. I mean, that was just him going, what have I got to say? I've got to say something stupid.
It's Mina Raiola in his ear. He's got someone feeding them lines to him, isn't he? Surely he has.
He's like, he says it with all the conviction of like Joey Barton when he'd go on his metaphysical rants on Twitter.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I enjoyed Marcus Rashford's lovely little cushioned header for Pogba's goal.
It was very good.
And I saw an interview recently. He said his childhood footballing hero was Tim Howard. I didn't expect that. But then he also revealed that in his first season playing for his old boys club years ago, he played in goal. And then said, if Man United ever needed an outfield player to go and goal, he'd be up for it. And I thought, we all want that to happen.
Everyone wants that. But it's good to have that in a team, isn't it?
If you know
who's going to want to go in.
That's true. But then Southgate, you shouldn't fall for, we'll only have two goalkeepers in the squad and Rashford can double up, because you need three proper registered goalkeepers who can't play outfield for the
World Cup. Was it North Korea?
I think it was North Korea. They had a centre forward who could also play in goal. And they were like, brilliant, we'll stick in another midfielder. They turned up and the poor bloke was told, No, you're a goalkeeper. You can't play outfield. And didn't get to play.
Was he one of their better players though? Was he a fourth choice striker?
I don't know, but
I need to know your depth of knowledge of the North Korean side, Marcus.
Having thought about this, not playing at a World Cup is probably the least of his worries, being a North Korean citizen. Yeah. So there we are. Less said about that, the better. Could say that about West Ham at the moment.
What, they're like North Korea?
I guess if any team in the league fit it,
I don't know. I'd say
the leader of North Korea looks a little less hangdog, a little bit more saber rattling.
I'd say the North Korean citizens are a bit more disciplined than the West Ham supporters, though. They were chanting "sack the board" and "you're not fit to wear the shirt." I mean, poor old Moyes.
Yeah, welcome, Davey.
That's not aimed at him necessarily.
Yeah, we'll get to you.
But Moyes, he appealed for unity, which is not going to happen anytime soon. The really sad thing I saw about West Ham at the moment was Essex police have warned West Ham fans to stop calling 999 to complain about their team's failings. I thought, even if that's a bit of banter...
Yeah, getting in the way of a bit of actual crime.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. My goodness. But Alan Pardew said that he would have taken the job if asked. So they've got a man waiting in the wings if Moyes...
I love that.
If asked or asked. That's all I know.
That's incredible, isn't it? Moyes is one game into the job. The fans are unhappy. He himself is trying to dampen expectations. And Pardew's already trying to mug him off.
Well, I think Pardew's probably asked, would you have taken it? And he went, like, yeah, no, I'd have taken that, but I think Moyes will do well.
Yeah, so he's going to van it to Macedonia first.
I like his little goatee beard. He's sort of growing at the moment. He's gone a bit rougher, hasn't he?
Oh, this Pardew. Is Pardew.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Have we ever seen Moyes with a bit of facial hair? I don't think he...
No, not Moyes. No. Not Moyes.
He's a very unhairy boy, isn't he?
He probably is, yeah. Mm. Under those jumpers of his. he said some of the club's big players with big reputations disappointed him. Andy Carroll, maybe one?
Jesus. No, he looked the only one interested. He should have been sent off for looking interested.
That's true.
I mean, he looked interested in a big fight.
He was
with
up
anyone
for the fight.
Near him.
He was up for the fight. I mean, the poor bloke, Ziggler, who's making his Premier League debut, you know, 6 seconds or whatever it is, bang, there you go. That's what we're about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty brutal performance, wasn't it? It's almost, do you think Moyes is trying to bring out a bit of big dunk in Andy Carroll?
Oh, that's a point. I hope not for the
sake of every other footballer in the Premier League.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or any burglars who might be in the in Kevin Nolan's house.
Need knocking out.
I thought that West Ham, they did create a few chances, and if it wasn't for Gomez's heroics in goal,
yeah,
then they may have nicked something. Yes, it was a poor performance.
Thing with that, though,
yep,
is that Gomez plays for Watford, doesn't he? And West Ham have got to find a way past him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I appreciate that you're trying to do Davy Moyes a favour there, yeah, but I think they were comprehensively outplayed. You know, and Watford are a good team as well.
13 minutes in, losing a goal. It's just like, oh, come on now. At least get to half-time.
Well, it was good to see Will Hughes on the score.
Yeah, it is.
He signed for Watford in the summer, of course, after lots of speculation over the years at Derby linking him to Premier League clubs. And he was always a great young player. Still is. He's early 20s. But it was nice to see him playing for Watford, starting a game in a position that he can flourish in.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, this is an ideal sort of trajectory for a young player in England, really, isn't it? Because he was linked to Liverpool repeatedly a lot when he was younger, wasn't
he? Yeah, that would have been a bit too much.
Absolutely, it would have been. It's far better for him to have stayed at Derby for the time he did and then go to a club like Watford where he can sort of be away from any sort of spotlight. And, yeah, he had a very, very good game.
Mm, much better. from Watford, I thought, because they've lost a few games of late, but they're having a good season. And Richarlison with another good performance. I mean, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he has. I think he's behind Harry Kane in the league of shots, but I think he's second in the league. He's had something like 47 or 48 shots before that game, and Kane's had like 1,000. But yeah, he's busy, isn't he? He's active. He gets involved.
It would be a great shame if Watford do lose Silva this season.
Yeah, and that's not going away, is it, that story?
No.
So it looks like Silva's... Everton are probably going to throw more and more money at it.
It's very unimaginative, though, isn't it, from like the press. It's like, yeah, he'll be in the frame next. It's like, well, just let him go.
But Everton have approached him, and Silva's not really pushed that story away. Right.
No, whereas the Watford, you know, hierarchy is saying you can't approach him. But again, money talks, doesn't it?
Mm. Money talks, and so does Pete Donaldson, because he's going to be reading out your correspondence after this.
All right, then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Same could be said about this, quite frankly.
What, this show?
No, the correspondence that you're about to read, Pete.
Okay, all right. And I can't be to blame because it has been moved around slightly. To the Ramble Boys. Hello to Elliot. I sit at my desk at work and hear the news that the capped scourge of the Midlands is no more. I am filled with mixed emotions. My beloved Albion may no longer be safe in the Premier League, but at least there's a chance the football won't be rubbish anymore. So there we go.
Get Tony Mowbray back.
Tony also apparently turned on the opportunity to try the Hawthorn speciality Balti pie during a press event once. So good riddance to the heathen.
Well, he's not actually a heathen, he's Catholic.
Simon Oak. Thank you, Marcus. Simon Oak, Ramblefoss Ho. Haven't had one of them for a while, so Luke really doesn't like them, and I'm going to do one.
I also hate them.
Okay, well, you. Having listened to the rants about the England band on the preview show, your frustration is shared and multiplied by many Sheffield Wednesday fans. You see, the England band started out life as the Sheffield Wednesday band.
God.
And they continue to split the opinion of the fans. At what point they were even banned by one of our former chairmen. They play the same gruelling playlist at every home game at Hillsborough and at times make the life of a Wednesday fan even tougher work than usual. That said, I do have a grudging respect for them. They appear to be some of the most successful blaggers of all time. As you said, they get sponsored to travel all around the world with the England team, and I always think that the disdain that they are held in is created in part by jealousy. The lineup keeps changing. At one point, even included the ostrich-abusing Bernie Clifton, but sadly their repertoire remains the same. They certainly make some noise when the atmosphere goes flat in the stadium, but at times even a patient man like me would like to shove those trumpets where the sun don't shine. Mm. So there we go. Spare up thought for the Owls.
I think, I can't believe I've forgotten this, but the three of us have actually danced with them. Do you remember? After England-Ukraine.
Not with them.
No, yeah. Near them.
In spite of them.
In the area they were at.
Okay, I boggled in spite of them on lavender beer that I'd inadvertently bought.
No, that's true. So, yeah.
That was not a badge of endorsement. I will dance to Jason Derulo at times.
I just felt like Roberto Martinez. I just felt I should put that out there in the spirit of transparency.
Well, I don't.
Well, in case we're caught in a long lens. somebody gets the CCTV from the Kiev stadium that we danced
stadium.
In.
I don't hate the England band.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
Because they play
No, you hate the Sheffield Wednesday band.
Rich. Hi, all. Long-time listener, and I thought it was about time I praised my football club by telling you some ridiculous stats about this season. Ollie Lee scored our second goal yesterday versus Cambridge from 70 yards out. That is some stat on its own. However, it was also scored from another postcode. The Oak Road end is an LU4, and the Kenilworth Road end is an LU1.
That is magnificent.
Isn't that good? Luton have now scored 7 or more goals in 3 league games this season.
Mm.
And, so good news on that.
Yeah,
so
we're going to mention that.
Imagine scoring a goal from a different postcode to where the ball actually ends.
That's incredible. We will mention Luton a bit later.
Mm. Okay, then. Mm. All right, then. Simon from Canada. Hi, everyone. Against Billericay Town in the last episode, you chatted about, Billericay Town, to be honest. I just wanted to make sure that this bit of narrative from a previous match didn't slip past the Rambles Soviet-era radar. Rude. All the way back in April, the two teams faced off in a league match. Billericay Town sporting a lineup that featured former Spurs and Portsmouth player Jimmy O'Hara, who had joined the club less than a month before. Leatherhead triumphed 3-2 in this match, but the real story came afterwards. As O'Hara walked off the pitch, a fan went over to do a little shaky hand and then did that thing, you know, when you pull the hand away?
Yep.
Mm.
O'Hara attacked, said person.
Steve went after him.
Yeah, he was a schoolboy. Now, keep in mind that O'Hara was initially docked wages by his own club for this incident, but it's only in the last week that he was also formally fined by a court. He didn't feature in the recent FA Cup fixture, allowing children everywhere to breathe a sigh of relief. Thank you, Simon.
Gordon Bennett. Wow. Leatherhead beat them in the in the replay.
Mm.
They're into the second Indeed. Round, I think.
If you do want to get in touch with the show at the Football Ramble is the way to do that. And if you want to get involved with Going for Glory, you can get involved at pete@thefootballramble.com. So thank you very much for all your correspondence thus far.
Wonderful. Burnley got another win.
Mm,
they're on the same points as Arsenal and Liverpool and one behind Spurs. Ridiculous.
That's great.
It's great. A lovely little Burnley.
What a week Jack Cork's had. Made his England... Well, maybe not exactly a week, but what a recent period of time he's had making his England debut. Was in the England squad, of course, and scored a lovely header.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about players not celebrating against their own clubs, but the opposite of that is when a player can't conceal his glee, which is exactly what that was. Not in any sort of malicious way, just you could see on his face how well things have been going lately.
Look, there are a number of ways to celebrate against your old club. Jack Cork starting the move and then getting on the end of a header and scoring for his current club, which he's played for a little while, is absolutely fine. You can also do it the way Emmanuel Adebayor did at the Etihad against Arsenal.
Which is also fine for the purposes of this show.
Yeah, exactly. which, you know, for those Arsenal fans who did get angry about that, and I know that's been...
And the one who threw the little chair at him.
Exactly, you know. Take your medicine, you know.
Take your medicine.
If it bothers you that much, call the police.
I mean, bearing in mind you spend most of your time cozying up to Club FA, you're never going to get a job in Soho Square, mate.
Hang on a minute.
With that kind of behaviour.
Cozying up to Club FA? The last time I was there was with you.
Yeah.
Well, then Pete will know, won't he?
Yeah. Seen it
up,
true,
I watched
it.
Up close.
I watched you hoovering up the food.
Well, it was put in front
glad
of
glad handling.
Well, glad handling.
I'm just saying, Marcus, you've got to be careful about what you say, because this sort of audio will come to bite you on the arse when you get the nod at the FA. All right.
What? So, I see what you mean. Well, okay, how about this for a piece of audio? Emmanuel Adebayor celebrating against Arsenal was one of my favourite moments in the Premier League's history.
Say it was an effing disgrace.
No, it wasn't really. It was shocking all round. But anyway, that happened years ago. Jack Cork, we're talking about now, for crying out loud.
Yeah, fine.
And it was a great performance. And Burnley with another win. They're going so flipping well.
They really, really
but
are.
What I liked about this one was 2-0. It was a good win, comprehensive win. Barnes with a great strike as well. I'd love Dyche to, you know, he's got points on the board, because previously, obviously, Burnley, it's always stay in the league and so on. And that's more than understandable. And they often play quite defensively and hit teams on the break, and it's worked, especially at home. I just wonder if, with a few more points under the board, a bit more confidence, the team with a bit more cohesion, one or two new faces in there, can he actually start to think a little bit more expansively and take the game to opponents, especially Swansea at home?
I think that's exactly what he is doing. I think Burnley take charge of teams more. They have a bit more width to them at the moment, which is really nice. And it used to be like pretty much everybody would turn up at Turf Moor, and Burnley would invite them to come onto them, weather the storm, and just try and be more physically robust than them. But I think that they are taking the game to teams now, and especially in a fixture like Swansea at home. You wonder if Paul Clement might be next for the chop.
Well, yeah, so they've lost 6 out of 7. I mean, it is looking very, very bleak for Swansea. Indeed, they're up against Bournemouth next, which, again, is a chance to get some points on the board, although Bournemouth have got themselves back-to-back wins and look like they've remembered how to start playing in the Premier League again.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's part of it is that rhythm, isn't it? For a team like Bournemouth, I guess they're in a kind of Goldilocks zone at the moment, where actually it's a sort of nice position for them to be, just in terms of their status in the league, because there are teams that are worse than them. They're probably not going to go down. The feeling of the status quo is, you know what games they'll be the favourites in, you know what ones they won't. But if you start losing those ones, you're expected to win. That rocks your whole identity and belief. And I feel like they're getting that back now. They're getting back to knowing who they are and where they need to be.
And Callum Wilson getting a hat-trick is wonderful. Yeah. No one could begrudge him that. Not even Huddersfield Town.
No.
Or maybe they could. Did that second one come off his thigh? I think it did.
When you're hot, you're hot.
I just... Because the way it came in, the finish was absolutely superb. And I saw a few replays and I thought, I think that's come off his thigh. But the way he swung it was very intentional. Mm. You know, like Ibrahimovic.
Just great shape.
Indeed. You know Ibrahimovic back in the day when he would do all these sort of weird kicks and
catch it on his nose and walk it into the net?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I thought Wilson's getting involved in that, but in a more English way.
Yeah.
You know, and well done to him for that, yeah. But Bournemouth as well, just talking about them, they played the large part of that game with just 10 men.
Yeah.
Very impressive against the Huddersfield Town side, who have had a good season thus far. But when you've got Nathan Ake at the back playing like that, my goodness, what an asset to the team. Mm. He was brilliant.
I do worry about Bournemouth now. I sort of said that they'd probably have a really good start, like up until Christmas probably, and then just kind of start to get found out a little bit. And I think...
Well, they've had a dreadful start, and now they're getting into their swing.
Yeah, but they just seem like a more robust kind of like championship side coming up. And I thought I expected a little bit more from them, to be honest. And I'm sure Huddersfield fans possibly would feel the same way.
So you hope they get relegated?
I hope they get relegated. They don't deserve to be here. They disgust me.
Right. Well, they were very sloppy, Huddersfield, on that. I think you said Bournemouth at the start of that, but meant Huddersfield, didn't you?
Did I say Bournemouth?
Oh, yeah, maybe. but I think Huddersfield look quite sloppy defending their set pieces. And a team like that play like that, you have to do that. You have to really give everything to those if you're going to stay up.
For clarity, I meant Huddersfield.
Did you? All right, which is why I quit.
Because Bournemouth were already there. Yeah.
And they're now 13th, Bournemouth, 4 points above the relegation zone. And I love it. Back-to-back wins makes all the difference.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly they're away. And thinking of Europa League football, possibly not, though.
I mean, it's a pointed chalice, isn't it?
No. It's where all the cool teams are.
Shall we go down to the Championship?
Yep. Yes.
Specifically Sunderland. Yep. They drew at home to Millwall.
Speaking of going down.
Speaking of strange things happening.
Yeah, they drew at home to Millwall, which is a fantastic result considering that's the best result they can hope for at home.
Yeah.
Because they can't win.
Three of the goals in that game were absolute goalkeeping howlers. Like, yeah. Sort of like... Like, and I mean howlers. You'll see one of those a season.
The ones you'd see in like the 90s. Like, yeah. Like David James would come out and flap at a ball and then just drop it into his own net or something.
And you only know about it because you've got a video of Danny Baker laughing at it for Christmas.
Well, on the back of that game, Danny Baker's thinking, own goals and gaffs 3. Yeah.
Could be. YouTube channel.
Yeah. that would be good, wouldn't it? Or would it? Sunderland have got a new manager in the form of Chris Coleman.
What a surprising appointment.
Did no see this one coming?
No. I thought he would go to a Premier League, so I'll wait because their jobs are coming up.
Well, absolutely. This is it. Because as well, you would think at least like a top half championship side where you've got a good chance of getting promoted. I wonder, are chairman wary of managers that have been in international football for a while, because you know Coleman's reputation before that as a league manager was fine. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't brilliant.
Sure.
But even then, you'd have expected him to get a better job than Sunderland being bottom of the championship. I just wonder if that scene is too long out of the game on a regular basis.
He must have. I don't know why he would have turned that job unless he's been promised like Martin O'Neill era kind of money.
Yeah.
Because I had to spend. Because I don't understand that move at all.
Is there a takeover coming? Sunderland? Maybe.
Possibly. I mean, if a man can't... But on the Sunderland point, if a man who picked up the pieces after Gary Speed's death can't motivate a bloody Sunderland team...
Well,
they just need to just shut the bloody ground because they're an embarrassment at the moment and they just need something. Well, and I love saying that.
Yeah,
I could
feel it.
Yeah. You've gone all Mario Götze.
But if he'd just waited a couple of days, the West Brom job is up for grabs. Yeah, it's like the worst sort of marshmallow test ever, where it's like, you can have one marshmallow now, or if you wait, you can have three.
Yeah.
And he went, I want the marshmallow now.
I want the Sunderland one, not the West Brom Swansea Man United one.
And I'm going to eat it in Metroland.
Man United. Well, West Brom are thinking of approaching O'Neill, who just the Northern Ireland job.
Who's made a sideways move to Scotland.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you're right, Jim, in what you say. With international managers, I mean, are we going to see Yogi Love managing in the Championship? This is where I'm leading with this. Who knows? Who knows indeed? But yes, Chris Coleman, his comments after he accepted the job, a mixed bag.
They were Moyes-esque, weren't they? Really?
Very mixed bag. I mean, he started off very strongly and then sort of... Well, I'll let you be the judge, ladies and gentlemen. No, he didn't start strongly, sorry. Having just read them back, I just think, what on earth was he... Whether it's me or whether it's the next one, sooner or later, this club will start climbing again. Moyes-esque, as you say. Start playing in front of a full house again. Get the city rocking and rolling. I want it to be me, of course.
Yeah, I mean...
All right, make it happen, Chris.
Thanks.
I mean, is that actually maybe just a bit of self-awareness from someone who knows what the modern game works like?
Yeah, true. True. He then went on to say, all right, we're bottom of the league. Deal with it. Get on with it. It's going to be a big challenge. I haven't got a magic idea that's going to turn it around.
What a rallying cry.
I mean, me or the next one's going to sort this out. I don't have the answers. It's probably going to be the next one. Let's just deal with it and get on with it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Brexit means Brexit, Jim, is all I'm saying, OK? And Chris Coleman means Chris Coleman.
He's doing a soft press conference there, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know. But with the Wales job up for grabs, is it time for Pulis? Surely that makes sense.
That is the obvious fit, isn't it? Because Coleman himself has said the next person has to be a Welshman. I don't get it when managers do this. Like, sort of decide what's going to happen in their old job after they've left it.
Yeah. I mean, is it time that the world of football were treated to Tony Pulis managing Gareth Bale?
I mean, imagine it.
Is that what we want to see?
Just run onto that, Gareth.
No one wants to see that. Chest that down.
You're a big fit lad, Gareth. I think we're going to use you in the air. We're going to play Hal Robson Carnot off you, and it's going to be all changing. You're going to love it.
We did have someone tweet us when the news came through saying that if he does take over at Wales, he'll revert Gareth Bale to being a left back.
Oh, yeah.
I can see.
Yeah, we've already got a left back. Oh, we're playing two of you there.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. One can stay, one can go. wonderful stuff. Right, we are going to talk a little bit about League Two after this.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Friday, of course. Our bettor, Ross Hunter, last week said Spurs would score a penalty against Arsenal in the North London derby. He needs to be replaced.
As a bettor. Get him out.
Yeah, so we look forward to adding a new person. Not adding, replacing him in the betting chair with
a new
person.
And if we can't find anyone, we'll just get Gary Megson to do it.
That might be a good idea. So as promised, we're going to mention League Two. Luton Town have already got a mention. They scored 7 again at home last Saturday. Third time this season they've scored 7 or more. They beat Yeovil Town 8-2 on the opening day of the season. They beat Stevenage 7-1 last month and won 7-0 at home against Cambridge on the weekend. That means that they are the top scorers in the Football League and the Premier League. They've got 43 goals this season. Man City, they've got 40. Mm. So it's unbelievable. Obviously, it's aided by those three big old wins.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I've been to Luton and there's not much to do other than score goals. So
yeah. You know, and they're doing it, Jim.
Involved.
Hang on a minute. They've got an airport there. Well, you can fly to other places.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The world's most unlovable airport.
Yeah.
Take that, Luton. You thought this was going to be nice, didn't you?
Well, they're second in the league. They are second in the league. So they're just behind Kevin Nolan's Notts County. Notts County boasts Sheila Ramiobi, of course. Alan Smith, Nicky Hunt and John Stead.
Has anyone boasted Sheila Ramiobi before? It's more of an admission, really, isn't
How
it?
How dare you. But yeah, as mentioned as well, Ollie Lee, son of Rob.
Yeah,
scoring that goal. It was a 65-yarder, I heard it was reported.
It's beautiful.
Our man said 70-yarder. I mean, when you get that far out, it's
fine, isn't it?
It's apples and oranges, isn't it, Jim?
From a different postcode, which is a wonderful bit of trivia. That is absolutely
nice,
brilliant.
Isn't it?
But a goal from the halfway line or around it is one of the best things in football. Because if it happens anywhere in the world, it's news.
Yeah, that's
true. It spreads around. There was one in, I think it was in Chile a couple of years ago, where the guy scored from a volley.
That's class. But the thing is, this guy was fairly, Lee was fairly well in his own half.
Yeah.
And actually, it was a breakaway situation. It was a beauty. I mean, the keeper was obviously way off his line. But the last thing the keeper's thinking is, oh, am I going to get lobbed from 65 yards? Yes, I am. There it goes. Knowingly lobbed.
He was. Right.
Knowingly lobbed. But yeah, Luton, they're on the march. But they need to get Notts County. They need to get to them. They're 2 points behind them. But Kevin Nolan will have other things on his mind.
He's on a lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken dances all round.
Player manager. Always good to see.
Less player, more manager at the moment, though.
And now it's time for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold. When they're going for Glold. Actually, shall we do Going for Glold or shall we do something that we heard on 5 Live on Friday? Matthew Faherty, pointed out that BBC Radio 5 Live have a new game on their show.
No way.
Yeah.
Right, so we wanted to come up with something like The Beast, the trivia question that Chappers used to do on a Friday night. So I'm going to tell you a story from my career about a mystery player, and between now and 9 o'clock, we'll give out clues as to who the player is. Yeah, we're calling it JJ's Jigsaw.
We are.
Slightly self-indulgent, but it's a working title.
Jermaine Jenas there, and his new game, JJ's Jigsaw.
Get in the sea, Jermaine.
I meant to press Going for Glold there.
This is why people pay for Jermaine Jenas.
Yeah, that's a good point. I bet he doesn't play out his own stabs. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's hard being in a goldfish bowl, isn't it?
It's like Going for Glold, but over a longer period of time.
Yeah. Can this one be called Going for Goldfish Bowl?
Maybe.
Why not?
Are you still bitter about that?
What?
About Jermaine Jenas saying that about Newcastle?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yes, I am. This one comes from Nick. Thank you very much, Nick, for this nomination and clues. It's a German name. Karlsruhe in Germany. In Germany. I was born on the 16th of October, 1970, in Karlsruhe, Germany.
Stop. Thomas Müller.
Incorrect.
Thomas Müller.
So I meant Andreas Müller, who I've obviously...
Stop.
I can't...
Andreas Müller.
Incorrect.
That would have been David Nugent.
I couldn't have begrudged you that.
You'd have been Jermaine Defoe and David Nugent. That would have been all over.
I am an avid follower of Buddhist principles. I mean, what that means, I don't know.
Stop. Stefan Effenberg.
Incorrect.
Ooh. I thought he might have found peace later in his crazy life.
No, he'll take longer to find that. Mm. Stop. Karsten Janke.
Incorrect. Might have to check the legal definition of some of these clues, but I was once sued by a politician for instigation to murder.
Wow.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Mm.
Stop. Stefan Kuntz.
Incorrect.
Nice.
Just nice to get a mention. That
is quite a cunty thing to do, to be fair. Instigation to murder. Wow. That's the very dictionary definition of a cunty thing.
I don't think it is.
Since my retirement from football in 2007, I have become a regular player of kegging. 9-pin bowling, basically. Not to be confused with 10-pin bowling.
Stop. Andreas Kupka.
Incorrect. My parents divorced at the age of 5. My mother subsequently remarried, and I took my stepfather's surname.
Stop. Fritz Stepdad.
Fritz. Come on now, Jim.
Come on, Jim.
My parents... No, we're doing that one. I wore the number 7 shirt for nearly 15 years.
Stop. What's it? Mehmet Scholl?
Mehmet Scholl!
Oh, get in there!
Well great done, Marcus. That's fantastic. I'm almost a one-club man, having made over 300 appearances as a player and later returning to manage the second team. I've scored in both legs of the UEFA Cup final and I've won 8 Bundesliga titles. The joint most successful player in German club football history. Oh. And I've won the European Championships and the Champions League. So well done, Mehmet Scholl.
Wow, what a player he was.
Indeed. When they're going
for the win, but... Lord.
J.J.'s Jigsaw.
Yeah, because it's an original idea, isn't it? Going for gold.
I love the fact that that doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, what doesn't bother you?
It's irked you.
It's not irked me. I just somebody pointed out, and I thought it would be a funny conceit for the show.
I'm going to get involved.
You sound irked.
I'm going to get involved with JJ's Jigsaw next time.
Probably called that, Jim, because he went about pieces in the box. Prick. Yeah. You want some of that? Yeah. You know,
I think it's time to get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Right? Yeah.
Otherwise,
move on.
It'll be Petey's Jigsaw, and we'll be the pieces. hang on, I haven't said the things.
What have you got to say?
Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
it's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah. We look forward to hearing or seeing you on the preview show.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
You're going to spread this out for 30 seconds just to spite me.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
JJ's Jigsaw. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.